The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to the Bright Side. Hey, this week in comics, we go over, just like we did last week, there's some news, we do a bunch of books, then we get into our book club and we start talking about what we read. We both happen to read a couple of books, one of them being Harleen, which is probably the highlight of the week. You let us know. Without further ado, let's get into the store. Hey, John, how we doing?
Oh, I'm better now, DJ.
Nice. I like that. Hey.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
I ran as fast as I could from my car to get here. We have breaking news.
We do.
Do you want to let it out?
I will. I didn't know
breaking
if I was breaking
news.
It.
Let's go.
I didn't know who was broken it. I didn't know. Yeah, so I was just reading a story just before we came on. I think it just broke that Kevin Feige is developing a movie, a Star Wars film. Multiple sources are reporting. Looks like it came from a Hollywood Reporter article. Seems to be legit. So,
yeah.
Apparently, he's too busy to go to Sony and take care of Spider-Man, but he's not too busy for Star Wars.
It's funny. When I heard the news, you know, moments ago,
right?
It's like one of the things that went through my head was that whole thing with Spider-Man.
Right.
And I don't think he woke up like Sunday morning and said, you know what? I really want to do a Star Wars movie. They had to have known
not.
This, you know, and this is what he was going to do. So he isn't going to be available. That was already stated. You know
right.
what I mean? But Sony said that was part of the deal is that Sony was like, well, if he's not going to be involved, why are we going to do this? So now
right,
we see what he's going to be doing.
We don't know that. I don't think that was even the real cause. Honestly, I don't even know if that was the real reason behind the Sony thing.
Who knows?
You know, I don't
that was one
yeah,
of
I don't
the many
hash,
speculations.
Right. I don't want to hash that whole thing out again because it's like a never-ending drama. But you're right. I'm sure he didn't just wake up today and decide
right.
to write a Star Wars movie. No telling when he first started talking to Kathleen Kennedy, you know, about it, but you know, I mean, he can do no wrong when it comes to Marvel, so they'd be crazy not to let him,
right?
You know, pitch a Star Wars movie. There's no details on it. Doesn't say when or if it's a single movie or like we don't know anything other than that we're breaking it. I think for the first time in podcast form. So
yeah,
you know,
well, it
if you're
this
if
will
you're one
up.
Of our 8 lucky listeners to
yeah.
download tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock,
yeah.
you'll have heard it here first.
This will go out in less than 10 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, so after it broke. Yeah, everywhere, like you said, everywhere I'm reading, it's they're saying they got the news from the Hollywood Reporter.
Right.
The only thing that makes me skeptical is that's if you only have one source and everybody's jumping on that source, nobody's confirmed it other than with that one source. So who knows?
Right. I mean,
but
it's all
it is exciting though.
It's all speculation until it's confirmed, but if you're going to break the news, you got to break the news.
Right. Uh-huh. Confirmed from multiple sources that are all using the same source.
Right.
But, right. Hey, that is exciting, though. That would be,
yeah.
You know, and it says a movie, right? So, like, do you think he would do one of the three that's – no, he would have to do something separate.
It would be something
more speculation.
Separate because, right, but we know that the two trilogies that are on the books are already assigned to other people. You know,
yeah.
Rian Johnson and then the Weiss and Benioff team. You know, and this only states film. It doesn't say anything about a trilogy or, again, you know, very
yeah.
early news, so we don't know anything.
Minutes.
About it, yeah. And we don't even know the extent of his involvement in it.
Right.
You know, I mean, he pitched the story and that may be it, you know.
Yeah.
From there, he gets a writer and gets a producer credit and moves on, you know.
Yeah.
Who knows?
And we fork over our money.
Exactly. So.
Yeah. No, that's great. That's real fun. I mean, I expect a lot of talk and speculation coming in the next days.
I mean, it's like, you know, it's like Oprah's handing out Star Wars movies, you know. You get a movie and you get a movie.
When do we?
So, yeah. So.
What else do you got?
Looks like we have our new Batman writer has been announced.
Yeah, the team.
At the end of Tom King's run, we get James Tynion, the fourth, is going to be taking over writing duties, at least through issue 100. I think that's the only thing that's been confirmed.
So they gave him 15 issues?
So far. Yeah. I mean, the speculation is that, you know, it'll hit 100 and then probably reboot with the Luke Fox Batman. You know, again, this is just a bunch of people that don't know anything talking about what they think is going to happen. But James Tynion, I like him a lot. You know, he's already done several stints with Batman, most notably the Detective Comics run at the beginning of Rebirth, which I really liked a lot. But he also did Batman Eternal, and he's currently doing Something Is Killing the Children, which I also liked a lot.
Yeah.
So, I do like him as a writer, and I look forward to seeing what he brings. And one of the things he's promising is a return of Nightwing, which I think is awesome.
Wow.
Because I've gone on record a couple times now saying that as much as I love Rick Grayson, I'm done with Rick Grayson, and I'm ready for... You know, he's basically, I don't know if anybody's reading, well, I'm sure somebody's reading it, but I mean, I don't know if you're reading Nightwing currently, but he's basically just Nightwing without being Nightwing, because he's doing everything Nightwing related.
Yeah.
He's just, you know, not acknowledging that he has the name or that he knows, you know, any of the people that he knew before. But he's still running around saving people and, you know, with grease paint on his eyes and, you know, being Nightwing. That's cool. Like I said, I look forward to seeing what, not that I don't like Tom King's run, you know.
We're going to have
what he's done.
That's the best part.
Well, we will have both for a little while.
Yeah.
Because we'll have the Batman and Catwoman miniseries or maxi series for 12 issues. So yeah, we'll have our cake and eat it too for about a year. And then we'll have to see where it goes. And again, I've been a little up and down with Tom King's run, and I've been a little critical lately, but overall, you know, I think it's been a great, you know, a great run.
I've been more up than
down. It's been a great story.
Yeah.
I have too. And my downs have been more recently. Even though the last two issues, which I know a lot of people are down on, I've been very high on.
Yeah.
Because I've thought they were really good.
Again, we've said it in the past. It's one of those things where he has that love story, that ongoing theme.
Right. And you either want that or you don't.
Right.
And if you want it like I do,
it's very polarizing.
You know, I've liked it.
Because
you
either love that or you hate it. And it, I mean, you know, it's just, that's the nature of it.
And don't get me wrong. I'm not looking, I'm not looking for romance novels. Like, I don't want to see Fabio shirtless on the front of my Batman comics. You know, like, I'm not looking for, you know, Harlequin romance novels, but I do like that relationship, and I like it when they take time to explore it. There's plenty of comics I've read in my lifetime and will continue to read where Batman's just punching the Joker.
Right.
Or, you know, doing that stuff. But I do like to see the human side of it too.
Yeah.
So I've definitely enjoyed these last two issues.
That's what's so fun about Batman in general with that. We've got so much darkness and, you know, that, you know, strong, silent type that when you see a little bit into him, it's really a lot of fun. It, you know, it's very much like that in the, what was it? The Detective Comics 1000 issue. And remember that one page that had the Bat family from that story? And I loved that story. I loved that story, and I love that page. Every time I'm flipping through Twitter, every so often it'll come up, who's your favorite Bat? And I just love that picture because I know what comes after that, and it's him going to his parents saying, look, I have a family.
Right.
And it's something that's very rarely talked about with Batman because he's so like dark and brooding, you know? And it's like, so when you get those little glimpses, I think that's what makes it fun. I don't want that all the time because then that takes the fun out of it.
Exactly. Right, I don't want 100 issues of Batman and, or Bruce and Selina on the beach.
Right.
You know, looking like Tom Selleck and...
Yeah, I don't even know who she looks like, but he looks... I mean, but, it is Tom Selleck. You said, yeah. They referenced that on earlier on Twitter. That's
but two issues, you know, like a two-issue timeout, I'm all aboard for that. You know, I thought that was great.
And I like that it's potentially going to have them working together, too. That's fun.
Yes.
So, yeah. I can't wait for that next issue.
Yeah.
So, did you see the Michael Rosenbaum information?
I saw the headline. I didn't delve into the story to actually read, other than the fact that obviously he was offered the chance to come back and turned it down.
Yeah. Did you see his tweet?
So, no.
Okay. He put out a tweet. I'll paraphrase, basically explaining to everybody that, yep, they called me last Friday, and they said we need to know now. But they have no time frame, no money, no information, but they need to know now. And he basically said, I think you know why I said no. It's, yeah. No information. So the one thing I read out of that, I took out of that, is what if they come back to him with a time frame and money? Would then he be interested?
Well, I guess, and not to disparage Michael Rosenbaum or anything, but like, is he super busy every day?
He's
not working.
Well,
he's not working on anything.
No, he does his podcast, and he has been in stuff. I've seen him pop up here and there.
I get it.
He's not a broke actor. I know that.
I'm not saying he's broke. I'm sure he's got plenty of money. But that's my point. Is like, if you say, "Hey, we're going to be filming this sometime." I mean, you know, it airs in December.
Yeah.
So it's like, we're going to be filming this sometime in the next month or so. Don't have an exact date yet, but you know, would you be interested? I'm sure he's got enough free time on his hands to, to say, yeah, I'd be interested.
So there,
you know.
In high school, one of the things Mr. McPhee used to harp on is don't do anything for no money.
Oh, I'm not saying doing it for free.
Well, and that,
obviously he
going
to work for free,
It's like, which it totally goes against the, you and I have had this conversation many times. It goes against what I do. It's like, I actually worked for Mr. McPhee for a little while after we graduated. Right. And it was like, we're doing centerpieces for bar mitzvahs and stuff. And he'd build them and I'd paint them or whatever. But it was, don't do anything for free, because you have a talent, you have a skill. If they want it, they'll pay for it. And I feel like, and that's, I literally thought of Mr. McPhee when I read this, because he's just like, look, I'm not doing it for free. It's like, it doesn't mean that much to me. It means something to us as fans. We want him there, but I can see where he's coming from. Now, you and I are both like, I'll jump in for free. And
I don't think that was ever part of it. I don't think any intention was there on Warner Brothers' part to ask him to do it for free. They just weren't prepared to offer him a set contract with a set amount of money at that point. Now, again, shame on them.
Right.
I mean, you don't make the call until you have the pertinent information.
Right, and that's why I said, is the door still open if they come back with the time frame and money?
But now I wonder, did Tom Welling and Erica Durance and all these people, did they sign on with the same phone call?
No
idea. Did they call them up and say, hey, you know, sometime next month we need you to film this?
Right.
Or did they actually come to them with more pertinent information?
I don't know.
I feel like if they had the information to give those two, they would have had it to give him also. So maybe they signed on with a lot less information.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe they're not super busy right now either. But
yeah. Well,
but yeah, you can't expect anybody. Hell, I don't do anything. And if you just called me up and said, hey, sometime like 4 months from now, can you drive me to the airport? I'd be like, well, I don't know. I'll have to get back to you.
Yeah.
Because, you know, so, I mean, I get it.
Yeah.
But,
hey.
Yeah, it's just a shame that we won't see it.
Well, as of right now, it's a no-go. But right. I feel like there's a slight chance the door's slightly open there.
Which all they have to do is
money opens a lot of doors.
Well, and all they really just have to do is get their facts.
Yeah,
like if they would just say, hey, it's Monday morning at 8 a.m. and, you know, we're going to pay you double scale or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, are you on board? I don't think he should be holding out for
we don't know.
$1 million
right,
or anything, because it's just a little cameo.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, obviously they're not going to pay him day wage either. So
yeah,
hell, just tell me when to be there and I'll show up for craft services, you know. I mean,
yeah, with a Sharpie and an autograph book.
All you gotta do is give me lunch and I'll be in. Yeah. So
all right, I got one that I know you're so excited about.
Uh-oh.
Arrow's female led spinoff.
Oh yeah, I had that.
Yeah, I figured you did.
Yeah. Now, do you want me to talk about how much I don't like that idea?
I know. Or, I'm going to give it a chance, and I'm sure you are too. But
I will. Yeah. But I just feel like let's move on from Arrow. Like if we're done with Arrow, let's move on from it. There's so many properties. Like there's a million DC properties.
Oh, I know.
And it's like, why do we keep having to go back to the same well?
Yeah.
You know? It's like, no, or at least give me Birds of Prey or something. Like if you want to do,
yeah.
Like I just don't need the three canaries. You know, running around.
I watched some of the Birds of Prey. I don't know. Is it still on DC Universe? Remember when it last year?
I believe it is. Yeah, I watched it. Well, I watched it.
You watched it at the time.
Yeah, I watched it when it was on.
It was pretty.
It actually was a good show.
It was slightly below what the CW is now.
Yeah, but for its time.
But for back then, that was really good. Yeah.
And I know, I think we mentioned it back when we first started talking about DC Universe, because I love the fact that In the opening credits, we got to see the Joker.
Yeah.
Who never appeared in the show at all, but like they weren't afraid to just show all their characters back then. Like,
well, they had the rights to them. Now it's not that you're afraid. It's, do we have the rights to that one? Or you can.
Well, they still have, they've always had the rights to Batman and the Joker though.
Yeah.
But like I said, you wouldn't see that nowadays.
Yeah.
You know, because for some reason we're afraid to take people that we think should be in the movies. And go ahead and put them on TV.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was, like I said, I liked that show. I thought it was pretty good. So.
Yep. And who knows? Next one might be good, too. Let's see. We have, did you see Jeffrey Wright is going to be playing Commissioner, oh, they're targeting Jeffrey Wright, sorry, to play Commissioner Gordon?
I did see that. I like him.
I do too. I think
I he's also the voice of the Watcher though on the What If series.
Oh, okay.
And so I'm not sure that he's going to be able to cross the streams and work for you know, I guess what's his name? Shazam could do it. So
yeah. yeah, that's right. Yeah, he did. When I heard that, immediately I was thinking of what's the HBO series there he's in?
Westworld.
I was going blank. His personality, I think, I feel like his personality is a Commissioner Gordon.
Yeah.
You know?
I like him. When I heard the name, though, before I saw the picture, I immediately thought of Stephen Wright, and I was thinking of remember him, that like that really dry comedian from the 90s?
Yeah.
Steve. Well, that's an interesting choice. So.
Hey, Batman.
Yeah.
I have a collection of seashells all over the world. No, I thought he would. I think he would be great as a Commissioner Gordon. I really do. I think his personality is like dead on for that.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else you got?
I got Dean DuBlois, who was the director of How to Train Your Dragon, is going to be writing the Micronauts movie for Paramount. So that's pretty cool. If you're a fan of those old toys from the 70s.
Yeah.
But what I like about it is it kind of links to another story I have further down where it looks like Hasbro is trying to develop, you know, their own cinematic universe between the Transformers and Power Rangers, because they just picked up the rights to the Power Rangers.
Okay.
So, you know, they're looking at developing like a G.I. Joe / Power Rangers, Transformers, Micronauts. Those are all part of Hasbro's licenses.
Yeah.
Now, they did a huge crossover with all of those properties last year in the comics, and now they're talking about taking that to the, you know, a cinematic universe.
Yeah, I heard I heard G.I. Joe and Transformers were going to be crossed. We're going to share. We're going to do a crossover event.
Right. But now you've got, like I said, you've got all these, you've got Rom the Space Knight and, like I said, the Micronauts. You could do, you know, obviously you have a space connection with the Transformers and the Micronauts and Rom. And I don't know. I could think it would be kind of cool. Like, not all these properties are super well known. You know, everybody knows G.I. Joe, of course, and the Transformers, but, you know, unless you're old like us, you don't know the Micronauts or Rom the Space Knight.
I don't even know Rom the Space Knight. I'd have to see it to remember that
was
one.
Yeah, it was an action figure from the late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah.
And then Marvel Comics got a hold of it and did a comic book, you know, in the 80s. But, yeah, again, it was a character that had no, like, everything was developed through the comic book because it was really just a toy.
Yeah.
You know, that they decided to make. Same thing with the Micronauts. I mean, they were just action figures.
Yeah.
But back in those days, Marvel had the rights to those. And so there was a Micronauts comic and a, like I said, a Rom the Space Knights comic and all that. So, Marvel had G.I. Joe. I guess at one time they had all the Hasbro properties before, IDW has them now, but, at one time, Marvel had all of that. So, I don't know. It'd be pretty cool. You know, anything to see another cinematic universe.
Yeah.
You know, with all of those things would be pretty neat.
Yeah, we do love our shared universes.
We do.
Yep. Similar to the Nerdy Legion.
Yeah.
Hey, should I tell our dad joke of the week? That you sent me earlier?
Sure.
That was great. And did you go to that guy's account?
Oh, no.
Oh,
no,
I God. I think we have a whole new section here. I mean, we're always saying how old we are. We might as well drop a dad joke here and there.
A dad joke.
And so so you sent me the joke.
Right.
And then you had screen grabbed it. And then I went and found it. So his name's Joshua Muser. He's at _ the ultimate guy. And his whole page is all like just
dad jokes.
Dad joke. Awesome. I was going to say bad jokes, but same thing. Dad jokes.
Yeah.
So this week's dad joke brought to you from John was how does Spider-Man think of such witty comebacks? Because with great power comes great responsibility.
Yeah. I thought that was awesome.
I know you did. I know you did. So yeah, let me give you one other one. I'll just throw my finger up. All right. I don't even know that one. Apple's new iPhone is really something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, that one's corny.
They all are.
Yeah,
so.
But that one's worse. The Peter Parker joke at least was funny.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know. They're kind of the same. But yeah, I followed him.
Yeah, I'm going to have to do that too. I didn't even think about it.
It's pretty funny. So, did you see Titans this week? Are you caught up?
I'm caught up, yes.
So, what did you think of this week's? I'm just going off, like, we already have some screen grabs going through Twitter of Nightwing.
Yeah.
And during this past episode 3, the entire time, I thought they were going to bust it out that time. You saw when he went to the, what do they call it, the two batons?
Yeah.
Remember, he started
fighting.
Well,
yeah, I mean, that was,
but then
that was definitely reminiscent of Nightwing.
Yeah, they're showing you how he's progressing to Nightwing, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah.
The only thing he hasn't done yet is put the costume on.
Yeah. It's just getting better and better, really. I mean, every week the show's getting better. You know, we talked about the first episode, and I was a little down on it after the first episode.
I think the only downer was Batman.
Well, that, and just like I said, I really didn't like, not to rehash it, but I didn't like the wrap up of the Trigon storyline.
Yeah,
I thought that was just too rushed and not fulfilling. But really, from the second half of that episode all the way on, it's been very good.
Yes.
You know, like, you know, I really like, the Deathstroke, you know, Slade Wilson, character. He's, Isai Morales is doing now we haven't seen a whole lot of him yet, but what we have seen, he's done a really great job with. I think the costume, you know, it's not 100% comic accurate, but it looks great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really like it. Dr. Light looks just like the comics. So yeah, it's been really good. You know, little bit of a cliffhanger at the end of
three.
At the end of three.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, you know, if we're going to get to Red Hood, it's not going to be from the Joker, you know? Jason Todd's, yeah, the Joker's not going to be part of this series and kill Jason Todd to get us Red Hood.
I don't know if we're going to get Red Hood, though, in this. Well, I think that would be another season. I think Nightwing comes this season, maybe Red Hood next season.
But even still, I'm thinking that the one who kills him is maybe Deathstroke, you know, as opposed to the Joker. I mean, I don't think he's dead now. You know, that was too big of a tease, just, you know.
Oh, yeah.
To see his blood on the ground. But I'm just trying to think of how they could work that storyline in, you know, without bringing in the Joker and, you know, all of that. And I think that Deathstroke could be the way to do that. You're right. We might never get Red Hood. But I feel like they're building Jason Todd and his personality up to the point where we will.
Yeah.
If it goes on. If the show goes on long enough, because that's always the question, too, is, you know, as of right now, we don't even know that we're getting a third season. So,
right. I hope so.
I hope so, too.
I think these are very, very well done. The production of them is very well done. Yeah. The costumes, I think. And the story in both seasons has been really good. I agree with you that the wrap-up to season one was sketchy at best, because on how they ended season one in that, you know, we thought we were getting 12, it turned to 11. We don't know what, you know, why. Now we know why, because they only had half a show, so they took the half a show and put it in with the first half of the second season show. I don't know. So you have that one little hiccup in the middle. It can redeem themselves with coming up with a decent ending to this season.
Yeah.
And, you know, close this season out properly and leave you with a cliffhanger for season three.
Right.
So
I just love that they showed us, like, you really got to see what a badass Dick really is.
He is.
In this episode.
Because,
he had the training from Batman, and so did Jason.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But, like, when Jason comes at him, like, he just puts him down like a dog. Just like, without even blinking.
Like, he basically treated him as kind of, they're playing him on the show as Jason's a child.
Right.
And he was just like a father to a child. Not that I've ever done that to my son, but
he's like, don't do it, man. Yeah. Don't do it. And he comes and he just smacks him down.
Oh.
And it was like, that was pretty, it was a great scene.
Smacks him down is an understatement. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, he really took him to, like, put his ass, you know, put him on the ground. And, like I said, you just get to kind of see, you know, because again, hit Batman and Robinson, you know, they're all heroes with no superpowers, you know, it's just, you know, their training. But, and, you know, obviously Dick's had, you know, many more years of training and being Robin than Jason has had.
He's just more mature,
Right. But you just got to see how further along he was, you know, in his abilities.
Yeah.
So.
We forgot to mention Tom Welling, because that was announced last week, but it was after we've last talked.
Yeah. Well, Tom and Erica Durant also.
Yeah, well, you had mentioned that briefly when we were talking earlier.
Yeah.
I thought that was really cool.
That's odd. Like, that's been rumored for a while, but we hadn't really had confirmation, at least with the Tom Welling part of it. We hadn't heard Erica's name up until this week, although she is still part of, you know, she's part of the CW now. Because she plays Supergirl's mom.
Oh, yeah.
So, it's interesting to see that she's coming back for the crossover, but not as, you know, Supergirl's mom.
That's the same with Brandon Routh.
Well, yeah, right.
He's like a main character, and he's coming back as a Superman. So, I just think, I heard somebody talking on one of the podcasts today, somebody in the Nerdy Legion, I'm pretty sure, I know it was, I think they've got everything covered. Every movie or TV show that has been out there, they have somebody from that. Even including the original Superman, it's Superman 3, you have John Cryer.
Right.
Although, is John Cryer in the crossover? Have we heard that?
Well, that's the thing. I don't know for sure, because we don't know for sure that Helen Slater and Dean Cain are in the crossover. We know they're part of the CW because they're on Supergirl. but I haven't seen anything that says they're actually going to be part of the crossover. Now, I mean, they may be, and like I said, I haven't seen any confirmation that John Cryer is going to be in it, even though we know they're all going to be back for the new season of Supergirl.
Yeah.
So it stands to reason that they probably will be, but we haven't got confirmation that they will. The other thing that I read as far as Erica Durance is that she is going to be the only Lois Lane in the crossover, which surprises me because
they already have the Lois.
They have a Lois Lane, you know, in the universe now, who I guess is not going to be part of it, which, you know, again, this is ever changing information. Like it seems like every day.
Yeah. We're getting
people are changing and they're getting new people and, who knows? But as of right now, it said that she was the only Lois Lane that was signed on for that. So, we'll see what happens when it actually comes. You know, when it actually comes time.
Yeah. Let's see. What else do we got? You got anything else?
I had one more thing, but I just deleted it because I thought I'll remember, and now I don't remember what it was. So
that's funny.
I guess I don't have anything important.
So that was nice. That was nice of Fred earlier this week when we dropped our podcast on Monday. Fred reads comics and watches wrestling from Indie Alley on Nerdy Legion. He's like, earbuds in, time to go for a jog and listen to the Bright Side chat. Hashtag Monday motivation. I like it.
I like it too. I just remembered. So apparently Warner Brothers has issued a statement regarding the Joker movie. I don't know if you got a chance to read that or not. But they issued a statement, basically, I'm paraphrasing, but basically saying that
Warner Brothers. Okay.
Warner Brothers had to make a statement basically saying that regarding the violence in the movie and that in no way are they condoning, you know, violence in the real world and that the Joker is not a character that should be held up as a hero.
Oh, wow.
And I think it's in response to there was some people that complaining, and now I'm really bad because I should remember this.
So did
but remember, back
Stallone
when we had
do
the
same for his movie?
No, but back when they had the shooting at the Batman screening.
Yeah, that was back in, was
I can't remember, 2010 but basically some of the people there were complaining, you know, to DC about the Joker and how it, you know, sensationalizes. My point to the whole story was that we now live in a world where, like, movie studios have to come out and put out statements stating the obvious that,
don't try this at home.
Yeah, of course we don't condone, you know, mass murder and we don't condone the Joker. But right, like, does Rambo Last Blood, are they out there putting out statements saying don't run around and kill people? Like, it's just ridiculous that, you know, I'm going to jump on my soapbox for a minute, but that, you know, that we have to, that we live in a society now where, like, you have to make statements like that. That, like, no matter what you do, you know, and again, and don't get me wrong either, because I don't condone violence, and I don't condone shooting people up in a movie theater or what have you.
I mean, John.
But just because that happened once doesn't mean you take a stand against every movie that comes out that has.
No, I know.
Like, name me a movie where somebody doesn't kill somebody, like, these days. Like, there's not many, you know, where there's not violence or murder or something happening in a movie,
try to
and
watch
they're not
the
all
news.
Having to, exactly, but they're not all having to put out statements,
right?
Defending these movies,
but
saying,
they
hey,
do
don't
want
do this at home, you know,
to make themselves feel more comfortable. They put out a disclaimer. I mean, it's no different than us. We run your disclaimer before every podcast, and it is fairly obvious that we are idiots. So, but yet we deemed it necessary to point out that we are idiots and don't take us at our word.
I just think
it is.
It's a ridiculous statement. I can't talk today. I must have a gas leak or something.
All of a sudden I just see a dump.
Yeah.
Passed out.
But it's just ridiculous that we live in a society now where you have to go out and make these statements.
Yeah.
You know, to preface everything.
Well, didn't you come back from boot camp when we were kids and you come back and it said on one of the landmines, like, point towards enemy?
Yeah.
Like,
side
towards enemy.
Yeah. It says on the Claymore mine, it says this end towards enemy. And it's like,
no kidding.
I get it. It's like, you know, the bottom of the pizza box, and on the instructions it says, don't turn this upside down. Well, if I don't turn it upside down, I can't read this disclaimer.
My favorite story.
But still, General Mills isn't out there putting out statements saying, hey, when you buy our pizza, don't turn the box upside down.
Yeah.
You know?
My favorite story, you at boot camp, and this fits in with the isn't it obvious thing, and what to do in a bayonet fight. And you come home and you're like, so they're teaching us like bayonet fighting, and they're like, oh. And I could totally picture you standing up and doing this. They're like, if you know, you stab somebody, there's some suction there and it might not come out right away. So if you have a problem pulling it out, just pop off a couple rounds, it'll slide right out. And you're like, hey, and I totally picture you going with your hand up going, hey, wait a minute. I got bullets in my gun? If I got bullets, there ain't gonna be no bayonet fight.
I mean, it just stands to reason, you know?
Exactly. It's like, wait a minute. After all this, you tell me I have rounds left?
Yeah.
So.
I'm sure I did. I can't remember how many push-ups I had to do, but.
You're still sore.
I know that it was quite a lot.
Ciccone!
I was in trouble for many weeks in boot camp because I have a sarcastic mouth.
You're practical and sarcastic.
Yeah. It was like in high school, like, was it Miss Baca? What was that, like, sophomore year? She gave me, like, in the like first week of school, I had detention for the entire year. But
just
you know
setting
what?
The tone.
That just frees you up, though. It freed me up for the whole year.
Yeah, you're safe. Because what else are you going to do?
I could do whatever I wanted in class because I already had detention.
What are you going to do? So, give me detention next year?
Right. You can't give me detention twice. So it's like that was like the worst thing she could do because it just set me loose.
Yep.
So.
All right. Last one I got is Hulu. Looks like
that's the other story.
Hulu
had
opted to proceed with Ghost Rider.
Yeah, they dropped Ghost Rider. But they haven't dropped the Spirits of Vengeance branding that they had.
Okay.
I think Hellstrom is still going forward, as of now, anyways. They were kind of trying to go the adult route. See, really, there must be a gas leak in here. They were trying to go the adult route with, like, the Runaways and...
Yeah.
Hellstrom and Ghost Rider. And so far, the only one that's been dropped is Ghost Rider. According to the story, there was, you know, creative differences between the creators and the execs at Hulu, and they weren't on the same page on how they wanted the show to go.
So what we did know from it, was it going to be, like, the spinoff from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
It was. It was Gabriel Luna, and
yeah.
he was going to play, you know, the Robbie Reyes character from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I thought that was – I'm in the middle of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. right now. Back when it first came out, I watched season one and, like, half of season two, but – I told you over the summer, I started every morning, I do an episode, and I want to be up to date by, like, November when Disney Plus drops. But I really enjoyed it. I'm almost at the end of his run on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And
I haven't seen his run yet. I watched up until the season.
They do a really good
before.
Ghost Rider. I mean, the effects they use and the story, I really enjoy it. It's,
yeah.
I mean, it's very well done for a TV show.
Is that season five?
Four.
Of four? Okay.
Four.
So
it's like the first arc of season four.
Okay. So I've watched the first three seasons then, and I haven't seen it since.
Yeah. He shows up literally in episode one, and it goes on. Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely worth checking out. Definitely.
Yeah. I'll get to it eventually. I'm kind of like you, or I binged the first, well, I think I did the same thing. I watched the first season and half of the second season, really didn't dig it and stopped watching it. But then I went back and caught up on Netflix.
Yeah.
One summer.
What I'm really enjoying is I'll go by the timeline, and as they come up on you know, an MCU movie, you start to see there's always crossover there.
Right.
And having already lived through that, you know a lot of information, and it's way too much information to remember to even mention in the podcast. They come and go, but when you watch it, it's a lot of fun to watch. And you know, it has its flaws, no doubt.
Right.
But it's a TV show, so
yeah.
And it's, you know, it's Marvel content that it and it's canon. It's part of the MCU, which is fun. So, all right. Anything else?
No, I can't think of anything else.
Did you see the Arrow trailer?
No.
Oh, okay. I won't even talk about it. Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. It's funny. I'm really looking forward to that season starting, but every year I'm not because I know it's going to be over.
Right.
But at the same time, every year around the 10 episode mark, you're like, maybe they shouldn't have done this year because you get worn.
Arrow's really not ending. They're just carrying on with everybody except Stephen Amell, you know.
Pretty much.
So
yeah,
it's kind of like, I don't know if you ever, I'm sure you didn't watch it, but there was a show called The Good Wife on CBS and it ran for a long time.
Yeah. And Juliana
Margulies was the star.
Right.
Now, if you go to CBS All Access, they have The Good Fight and it's the exact same show.
Yeah.
Except without her.
Yep.
And that's kind of like what Arrow's going to be. It's just going to be, you know, all these spinoffs and we'll have everybody except for Oliver.
Yeah.
So.
All right. That good?
Yeah.
All right. Let's get into some comic books here.
Hey, can I throw out a shameless plug for myself and my store real quick?
It's your podcast.
So tomorrow is my 4-year anniversary.
Congratulations.
Opening Arkham Comics, yeah.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
That's
pretty
awesome.
Excited about that. Yeah.
You getting yourself a balloon?
I am. I'm going to buy myself a cupcake and I'm off tomorrow, actually, so I won't even be there, which was, you know, poor planning on my part, I guess, but Thursdays is my day off, so.
Who's your oldest employee? Is he working there tomorrow?
Yeah.
Go down and bring him a cupcake.
Yeah, I'll bring him a cupcake. He hasn't been with me since the very beginning, but at least 3 years of it he's been. Yeah. I can't even remember exactly when I brought him on, but sometime around the first year. So he's been with me for a while. Yeah.
Yeah, my anniversary date for work is August 9th, and I'm all by myself, but I've always been, that's my business, just me,
right.
But just kind of like you, it's like, but it is, it's fun. It's August 9th, I'm always like, yay, I made it another year. It's like, flies by, huh?
It does fly by. You know, they say when you get to year 5, you can go on forever. So,
nice.
I'm almost there. We'll see.
Yeah. Cool.
I still feel like, you know, it could all crumbling down at any day. So
well, that's pretty much our lives. We've been kind of flying by the seat of our pants our whole life.
Yep.
My wife and I are always like, they're going to come and take the house. Do they know who we are? It's like, my wife and I have known each other since high school. You know, we all went to high school together. And now we're still in our minds, two kids. Like, how the heck did we end up
here? That's the way I feel,
here?
Too. It's like, I still feel like I just came out of school, even though it's been 30 years.
Yeah. So. Oh, one of the guys on my hockey team, actually my goalie, was at SMU, UMass Dartmouth, when you were there.
Yeah.
I was just talking with him last night. Yeah. I go, when did you go there? And he goes, 88 to 92. I was like, oh, boy.
Yeah.
I was down there when a few times.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a big place, so we probably didn't run into each other.
Yeah, but, no.
Unless he was in our class. I wasn't in hockey class, so
no.
I don't know.
No, he played there, but.
Yeah. But yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, pretty funny.
Yeah.
All right. Now let's get into some comics.
All right.
Sound good?
Yep.
All right. How am I going to spend my money this week?
All right. So the first book we're going to take a look at is Absolute Carnage, Miles Morales, issue number 2. So there's two covers really to be aware of here. The first one is the connecting variant. Prices have stayed pretty stable on this one. It hasn't really spiked yet, but these connecting variants that Marvel's been doing lately, have all been taken off. You know, most notably the House and Power of X ones, but they've been doing them across some of their other titles too. And, you know, they've really, really been doing well. So that's one to keep an eye on. And the second one is the Codex variant. So once again, anything that's been tying into Absolute Carnage has had a 1 in 25 Codex variant, and these all seem to be going for more than ratio. This one's only going for like 30, so it's just a little bit over the ratio, whereas some of the Venom and Carnage ones have been selling for closer to $40 and $45. I didn't actually mention it, but Amazing Spider-Man this week also has a 1 in 25 variant that I sold today for $30. So,
oh wow, good.
Yeah. So I don't know if that's the going rate, but that was my rate.
Hey,
and it sold.
It's the rate. You got it.
So if I got 20, if I got 30 for it, then that's the rate.
There you go.
So, because I only had one. Next on the list is we got the second printing of House of X number 3 came out today. These are all selling for about $8 a piece. So almost double cover price on that. Just proving once again that these books are, you know, still in demand. You know, this just being the second print, we know number 3 sold out pretty quickly when it was released a few weeks ago. So a lot of people have been waiting for the second print of this to come out so they can get caught up on the story. So also one to keep an eye on.
Yep.
Marvel Comics Presents issue number 9. There's two covers for this. Both of them are selling in the $6 to $7 range. Listings on eBay are trying to push it up to $12 and $13, but as of now, I haven't seen any actually sold in that range, but, I have no doubt that they will. So this is being billed as the first appearance, of the digital Logan. So.
The what? Like,
yeah, I don't know what world we're coming to, but, it's the Wolverine of something called the .exe men. So the X-Men, but like, you know, .exe is the executable, extension for computer programs. So we have the .exe men, and I guess it's the digital. I don't know. I don't read this book, but I'm really just copying what somebody wrote down.
Yeah,
I don't know. But people are looking for it. You know, it's the first digital Logan, whatever that means.
Oh,
all right.
God.
Yeah, I know. It's just kind of where we are. Yeah. Kind of how far we've fallen in some
looking
cases.
Looking for firsts.
Yep. From Vault Comics, we have The Plot, issue number 1. This has 3 covers. So the main cover and then the C cover are both selling for about $6. But the B cover is a homage cover to House of Secrets 92, which is the first appearance of Swamp Thing. And that one's selling for about $12. This is a horror book, like I said, from Vault, and it is one of the books I read, so we'll talk about it some more in a little bit. But like I said, if you can find that B cover, that's definitely the one to grab there. And then last but not least, we have Powers of X number 5. Seems to have evened out a little bit now. Most of the covers for this are selling for about $6, and that's pretty steady, no matter what cover it is. So nothing's really going crazy on this one. You know, but again, we're getting down to the end of this, and
I can't believe it. I can't believe we're almost at the end.
I know, there's only 2 left after today, and it's gone by quickly. And I said this from the beginning, you know, finally when it gets to the end, we'll have figured out how to order enough copies that, you know, we'll have enough of them. And I think that's the case with number 5, is now we've finally settled into the point where we have enough on. Like even today, like when I left today, I have plenty of copies on the shelf to last me through the weekend. It will still sell out, but it's not like, you know, 2 weeks ago where I was opening the store with like, you know, 3 copies and, you know, 3 different covers and, that was it. So.
I think,
like I said, by the time we get to the end, we'll have enough.
So we have 2 more weeks of each, one of each coming up to end.
We have
it.
One of each left. Yeah,
and
we have one of each.
On the 15th, on the 16th, X-Men comes out.
Yeah, we go right into the X-Men.
Yep. Are you up for a midnight? Slade told me today that they're doing a midnight release for that X-Men book.
So, I don't know. We'll see.
For that Tuesday.
Remember what I said about
Michael
asking
Rosenbaum.
Me if I could take you, if I could take you to the airport 4 months from now?
Exactly.
We'll see.
I'm kind of excited for that one. I think I might do that one. So hopefully you could join us.
All right.
Fly in.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll check Expedia.
Yeah, exactly.
Tonight and let you know. That's it for Speculator. The Speculator books for this week.
All right. What do we got this week for back issue bonus?
All right. So back issue bonus, we have What If issue number 4. This is the first appearance of Venom Hulk. You know, I've debated this before. I don't know if What Ifs actually count as first appearances or not.
Yeah, we've said that in the past.
But, you know, in either case, you know, if you're keeping up with Absolute Carnage, you kind of know why this book is picking up right now. But you know, again, formerly a dollar book, now it's worth $15 to $20. You know, we'll see how long that holds. Because like I said, I question, and again, it's not up to me to decide. It's really up to the community to decide, but I don't consider what if issues to be first appearances of anything, because the definition of the what if is taking a character and changing it. So technically every issue of what if is a first appearance of whatever they're talking about. Yeah. So, anyway, next book is Batman The Long Halloween, issue number one. Keen listeners to this show might be able to figure out why that book is picking up steam right now. Obviously, you know, the new Matt Reeves trilogy, they're talking about borrowing heavily from The Long Halloween. You know, and again, this was already a book that people wanted, but it's definitely seen an uptick in price. Right now it's selling for steadily at around $50.
Just for issue one, right?
Just for issue one. Yeah. Yeah. From 2001, we have Captain Marvel, issue number 21. This is the first appearance of Big Mother. Don't know why that's important right now, but it has something to do with something that's coming up. Right now, it's selling for $20 to $30. Again, this is another one that I'm not sure is going to hold for long, but because I have no idea what Big Mother is going to appear in that's causing the price spike on this, but... anyways, Spawn, issue 221. This is an homage cover to Amazing Fantasy number 15. Of course, that's the first appearance of Spider-Man. This book is pushing $100 now.
Wow.
Only because of the cover. So,
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, because nothing's happened in that issue of Spawn. It's just the cover. And then last but not least, we have Uncanny X-Men from the 2013 run. This is issue number one. This is the first appearance of Gold Balls. So again, if you're paying attention to House of X and Powers of 10, you'll know why this is important. Right now it's selling for $12 to $15. Again, may or may not hold value. It really depends on what happens with the Hickman run. But also,
I would say they're going to be pretty important.
Yeah, but again, we don't know how this ends and how long they stick around. Obviously, yeah, they're very important right now as of issue 5 of House of X. Other books that are also being pushed by the quote-unquote Hickman effect, the New Mutants number 5, this is the first appearance of Elixir. It's going for $20. And then All New X-Men number 1 is the first Eva Belle, and that's going for $6. And that's it for a back issue bonus.
All right, let's get into FOC for this week. And if you're listening and are not driving your car, you can follow along on Previews World, the link that we put up. I was thinking of actually putting that up every week.
Yeah, we could. I almost left it in the notes, but
yeah, I think
you already had it once.
I'm going to add it. It'll be in the tweet. I'm going to try it if I forget. But I'll do it I should do it in every tweet from both week, because Monday is FOC, so when I release that, our Monday's shows, I'll release it, because I went on it today, and it's pretty good.
Yeah, and like I said, it's pretty up to date, everything's there. All right, so from DC, variant covers, we have Action Comics number 1016, that's Brian Hitch, Batman Superman issue number 3, Paolo Pantalena, Flash 81, Guillem March. I really like that cover, actually. And Wonder Woman 81, Jenny Frisson.
Which new Flash series. 81?
Flash 81 is Guillem March. It's the one with him sitting, looks like he's stretching to
stretching,
run.
Stretching, yeah, pretty cool.
So it's a pretty cool cover. I really liked it. And new series, we have Joker Killer Smile, issue number 1. This is going to be a 3-issue miniseries. And there's 2 covers for that. From IDW Comics, a character we just talked about. We have Rom Dire Wraiths. So this is issue number 1 of a 3-issue miniseries. There's multiple covers for that. From Marvel Comics, we have Agents of Atlas, issue number 3. There's a Stonehouse variant. I don't know the first name of Stonehouse. It just said Stonehouse. So, but that's a cool cover. Amazing Spider-Man 32. We have Mahmoud Asrar, and that's the Mary Jane variant. The Avengers 25, Jay Anacleto, Mary Jane variant.
Mm-hmm.
Ghost Spider number 3, Russell Dodderman, Mary Jane variant. And Jane Foster Valkyrie number 4, Emanuela Lupacino, Mary Jane variant. New series, we have Mary Jane number 1.
Yeah, Amazing Mary Jane. Yeah.
Ironically, there's no Mary Jane variant for Mary Jane number 1, but there are multiple covers.
Yes.
The B cover, I think, is the Art Germ cover. That's my favorite of the bunch, but there's a whole bunch of covers for that. I'm actually really looking forward to that series. Hopefully it, you know, kind of follows along the way the Catwoman series is doing for DC, because, you know, we'll see. But I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, you put that one out today, didn't you, on Twitter? Amazing Mary Jane. Did you mention that one on Twitter?
It was a little while back. I put the Archer M cover up for that and put that out. Lost my train of thought here.
Sorry.
Anyways, that's right. Other new series from Marvel, we have Amazing Spider-Man Full Circle, which is actually just a one-shot, but there's multiple covers for that. We have the next Future Fight Firsts. This is Luna Snow, and there's multiple covers for it. Again, that's just a series. They're all a series of one-shots, but they're all based on the Future Fight Firsts mobile game that Marvel has. And then, we have Marauders issue number 1. So, this is one of the new X-Men titles, that's coming out, and there's multiple covers for that. Two more real quick from Vault Comics. We have Money Shot issue number 1. There's two covers for that. And then from Zenoscope Comics, we have Unbound number 1. That's going to be a 5 issue miniseries. And, of course, Zenoscope, there's 5 covers for that. And that's it for FOC.
All right. Let's get into this week's book club. Huh? That's 2 weeks in a row.
I know, right? 2 weeks makes a habit. 3 weeks makes a... I can't remember the saying.
A streak? I don't know.
Why can't I remember that?
I don't know, but the show was going so smooth right up until then.
I know. Please hold.
Yeah, I know. All right, so this
3 weeks
week,
makes a routine. 2 weeks makes a habit. 3 weeks makes a routine.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. And we didn't even have to hold. You literally
I didn't
just
even have to put
that.
Us
That's
on hold.
Cool.
Yeah.
Because we know on this one there is zero editing.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. We are live all the way through.
Pretty much. Yep. All right, so for this week's books, we have 3 books. We both shared plot. So do you want to go first with your first one there?
Sure. So the first one is from Vault Comics. It's called Relics of Youth. Writer was Matt Nicholas and Chad Rebman. Art was Skylar Patridge. This is a pretty good book. So you meet a cast of characters that have all been collectively having dreams and visions of an island that they've never visited, and don't know why they're, you know, obviously don't know why they're having these dreams. One of the people that are having, you know, that are having the dreams somehow figures out the other people that are having them. And that's the only thing when I was reading this that was a little bit, I don't want to say unrealistic, but there was no explanation of how she figured out who the other people were.
Yeah.
You know, cause they're just random people throughout the world.
Okay.
So maybe she just put out a tweet and said, are you dreaming of islands? I don't know, but somehow she researched these people out. You know, obviously again, it's a whole cast of characters from different walks of life. But they're all having these dreams of these islands. And so she wants to get them all together so that they can explore what the visions mean. And they all seem to have an unexplained tattoo somewhere on them.
Huh.
It's like a triangle with like an island in the middle of it. But they all have the same tattoo. Can't explain where they got it from. So they all get together. One of the kids is filthy rich and, of course, has a yacht, you know, so conveniently they can get on the water and head to the island. But as they get on the water and they start kind of talking about their dreams and comparing stories, the tattoos on their arms change and they become like, they're actually like a compass. They change direction and they all pointing. They all start pointing in the same direction. So, of course, they follow that direction and they realize
Wouldn't
that.
Wouldn't that be north if it's a compass?
Well, I guess. I don't know. Points to the direction of the island.
Okay.
Not really a compass, I guess.
Right.
But they figure out that it's the, you know, if you can see where this is going, the tattoos are all triangles. They're off the Bermuda Islands. So where do you think they're going?
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So they head to the, you know, the Bermuda Triangle looking for this island. Seems, you know, it sounds kind of hokey the way I explain it, but it was actually pretty interesting. It reminded me a lot of Lost, you know.
Yeah.
Obviously, they're going to get to this island.
Yeah.
And there's going to be mysteries afoot everywhere. You know, there's a supernatural
element. So.
Because obviously they somehow magically got these tattoos that, you know, point
to,
you know, change directions. So, and there is a supernatural element. I don't want to spoil too much of it, but spoilers, they find the island in the first issue. And there's some supernatural things going on there. So, you know, I'm interested to see where this goes. Like I said, it's, you know, definitely has a Lost, you know, a feeling of Lost, which I liked. And, you know, it's a mystery that hasn't been explained yet. So, I am kind of intrigued to see, you know, where this goes. So.
Cool.
I think I'm going to continue reading it, at least for the next
issue. How long is the run?
It doesn't say, so it looks like it might be an ongoing series. For now, because there's no there's no set number of issues attached to it.
Right.
So that's it, Relics of Youth.
All right, so my first book, Harleen from DC Comics.
Mm-hmm.
Writer Stegpan Sejic?
I always say Stepan, but I'm not
sure
if that's right.
Stepan?
It's probably
that could be it.
It's Stepan. Probably Steven, actually.
Yeah,
but,
I know. Steven Sejic?
Because I've heard it's Sage. I've heard it's the last name is Sage, but I don't know. Somebody told me that today. That may not be right. I always say Sejic. But.
Okay, so if you're in doubt, go to our show notes. It's written there.
Yeah. Well, you can see how to spell it. You're still not going to know how to pronounce it.
Exactly, but you'll know who I'm talking about.
Yeah,
and he's also the artist. So
yeah, he's the writer and the artist.
And so, did you get to read this?
Yeah.
I thought it was really good.
Yeah, I thought it was great. Liked it a lot.
I think this is what they had in mind. I'm really enjoying Curse of the White Knight too, for the Black Label. But this one here, it really felt like a good Black Label story. This one here is so Harleen. Obviously, it seems to be a Harley Quinn origin story.
Yeah.
That we've never got this much detail in the past, have we?
No, it's definitely, like, the themes are similar.
Yeah.
You know, like, it seems
the
overall story is the same so far, but much more detail and much more backstory than we've had before.
And I want to say,
telling.
Yeah, and it's not an action-packed book by any means.
No, it's not. It's
very,
very
informative, but very, very entertaining. I'm sure you read it before today. Did you read it?
I read
preview?
It the other day. Yeah, I read it the other day.
So when I went into the store and I saw it's the oversized book.
Yeah.
I was like, I really enjoyed it in the book too.
The
artwork
definitely
really looks good in the book.
Yeah, I definitely did the same because obviously we read it off of a PDF. But when I got it in hand, I definitely looked through it again.
Yeah.
I didn't sit down and reread the whole thing, but I definitely looked through the whole thing again. Because the art really pops.
Yeah.
I love him as an artist anyways.
Yeah.
I like, you know, a lot of other things that he's done. I really liked his run on Aquaman that he did a while back too. But yeah, the art really pops in the oversized format.
Yeah.
It's definitely, you know, it's a nice book to own.
Yeah. I grabbed the variant cover.
Yeah.
Which is really nice.
It is, but this is one of the rarer cases where I actually like the main cover better.
The main cover
is do
nice.
Really like that, yeah. That cracked Harleen mask.
Right.
Of the main cover. He did the art on both, though.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can't go wrong either way, but I actually like the main cover a little bit better on this one.
Yeah. I just thought, like, I really liked the variant, the way it was a cool picture, and I really liked the art on it, the detail, and,
yeah.
You know, it was crisp but soft at the same time.
Well, and I love that version of Harley.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I like the new, the Suicide Squad movie version. You know, like, I mean, I kind of like the newer version too, but I really love that classic, like the animated series Harley Quinn.
You know what else I noticed in this book, which I'm wondering if it really gets into that whole, I don't want to give it away, but it does delve in a little bit into the Joker's past.
Yeah.
And everything that we've talked about. And it even, this book emphasizes that even more, you know?
Yeah. Well, and it gives away why they call her Harley too.
Yes. Yeah. And I thought that was pretty cool. Yeah. I thought that was a pretty cool, I like when people do stuff like that on a character that's already been built.
Right.
Like, I don't think when they named her back in the 90s that they thought that.
No, they didn't.
But it's a great play on that.
Right. No, because her name is, I mean, her name is a takeoff of a clown. I mean, it had nothing to do with, Harley Quinn is a clown, and that's when the character was created. I'm sure that's all they were thinking about.
Yeah.
Although when you get to her origin story in the comics, Mad Love, they definitely make reference to that, to the Harley motorcycle thing too. But, because in this point in the story, when you're reading Harleen, obviously she wasn't Harley Quinn yet. She was Harleen Quinzel.
Right.
So now you think she took the name Harley because of the taunts that she got.
Yes.
From other people. Which is cool. Yeah. Like you said, I like when they kind of build that stuff in.
I think that this book, I don't remember what I said about it on Twitter the other day, but I think that this book is going to be a very popular book and a sought after book with, Margot Robbie and the whole, I think Harley is really starting.
Well, Harley's
it's hard to say. I think she's already taken off the character.
Well, but she's in a little bit of a decline right now. Like, there's not as much Harley mania as there was.
I think there will be
a year
after
or
this.
A year and a half ago.
Yeah.
Even when I first opened the store, Harley Quinn was super hot. But now, she's kind of died down. I'm not selling as much Harley merchandise. I don't sell as many of the comics right now. But I think this book will be, I sold a lot of copies of this today, just off the rack. So not even to people that pre-ordered it, but I sold a lot of rack copies, people just walking in and picking it up. And it doesn't hurt that it's oversized and it's got a beautiful cover and great artwork. But I think the story is going to carry through because it's a strong start for sure to this.
And if the writing keeps going and the story keeps going the way it's going, this has run three issues, right?
Three issues. Now, don't get me wrong. This is no Superman year two, but it is as far as Black Label goes.
it is
a strong outing.
But that's what I mean. For a Black Label book, I mean, we had, Batman Damned, I think. I really enjoyed that, but I don't think it did what they wanted it to do.
Yeah, I'm very lukewarm on that.
Yeah, I like this better.
Leaning towards cold, actually. But yeah, I like this one a lot. And, Batman Damned I liked a lot after the first issue too, so we'll have to see where it goes from there.
True.
But I feel like this one won't be as interfered with as Batman Damned was. And I think that's what hurt Batman Damned the most, is that it just got interfered with so much throughout the process.
Yeah.
Because they decided they didn't want to be
delayed.
Want to really be Black Label after all.
Right.
Because even books like this, you get the feeling that they could have been more adult if DC would have taken off the reins and allowed it to be. But it doesn't seem like that's going to happen.
Did you notice when reading this that there are times when they swear throughout.
Yes.
And she, the full gamut of words.
Yeah.
Obviously she drops some F-bombs, But then, like, I want to say like a third of the way through in a couple of her bubbles, I don't even know if it was her, but a character swears. But instead of writing out the swear, they say, like, what the, and then they do all the exclamation.
Yeah, you know, I know, which is
which
weird.
I thought was funny, because I'm like, well, wait a minute, I read the F word back here, why aren't I reading it here? And I just thought that was weird, almost like, I don't know, did they do that intentionally?
I think it was done on purpose.
To bring you back to, like, this is what comics are really like?
Yeah, I think it was done on purpose, because obviously they weren't afraid to drop language in this book.
Right, because, they went right back to it after that.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny. So, all right, and now our last book, plot number one from Vault Comics.
Yep.
Writer Michael Morici.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
And Tim Daniel.
Right.
I nailed that one.
You did. You got that one. I feel pretty confident on that one.
And art by Josh Hickson.
Yep, feel pretty good about that too.
Yep. Yeah, well, can't really screw that up. Unless the J is silent.
Yeah. Osh. It's Osh. Oshkosh.
Yeah. So, I liked this. It went sideways, like, in the turn of a page. Did you notice that? Obviously, you noticed it.
Yeah.
Like, you're reading along, it seems like a good story, and then all of a sudden you're like, what the heck?
Well, yeah, you're led to believe that somebody's going to be the main character. And then you realize that they're not going to be.
No.
But yeah, I liked this book too. Like I mentioned earlier, this is a horror story. Like I said, it starts with the main character. Well, I'm trying to think of what to say without spoiling
ruining
it too much.
Yeah, yeah, I know. That's just it. It's a page turner.
Yeah.
I thought it was really entertaining. The artwork I felt was simplistic, but it played into the story.
Yeah. And the art wasn't the strongest part of the book for sure, but it was okay. Like,
Well, there's a reason that it wasn't. I don't know if they did it on purpose, but I feel like it works. Because the story is very, very story driven, obviously. And then there's only a couple of pages where all of a sudden you're looking at panels and no words. But other than that, it's very, you know, dialogue driven.
Yes, there was it was a heavy story.
And it leaves you at the end, like I said, it's almost like there's a cliffhanger in the middle that you didn't know was coming. You turn the page and you're like, what the heck just happened?
Yeah.
But you kind of left that way at the end as well.
Well, it's definitely a cliffhanger at the end because, you wonder what's going on, what's going to happen to the son, little boy, whatever.
Right.
I don't want to say the son of such and such because I don't want to spoil it.
No, I know. I thought it was really good. I think it was, it's from what, Vault Comics.
Yeah.
So I thought it was a really good book. I mean, it's definitely worth picking up. How long is this one? Do you know how
Again,
many?
It doesn't say. Could be ongoing, although I feel like with this one, it wouldn't service a long form story.
Yeah, I don't
know.
I
don't
know
how long it will go. And they could be miniseries, but it just doesn't say.
Right.
When I pull up the synopsis on Diamond, most of the time it'll say one of such and such, and these don't. So they lead you to believe that they're ongoing, that they're going to be ongoing titles.
Yeah.
But looking at the way the story was going in the first one, I don't know how long you go. Like, I don't think you go 100 issues.
No.
With it, so.
No, but it's a good story.
Yeah.
Definitely, I recommend it.
Yeah, I liked it too. And like I said, I think it had a good cliffhanger at the end and definitely, to bring you back to the second issue.
Yeah. All right. You want to get into a few more?
Sure.
All right. How about this week's Powers of X? Did you get to read that?
I did.
All right. Spoiler free. What'd you think?
Yeah. Again, not as strong as last week's House issue. But one of the better powers. Yeah, I say it was one of the better
it
powers.
It beats the
issues.
Previous strongest.
Yeah. Because it just wasn't as, like, we still spent a lot of time in the current you know, with the current timelines.
I knew you'd like
we
that.
We didn't get to the, we didn't get to the year 100. Actually, I don't think we got to year 100
at all. We didn't do a year 100.
We spent a little bit of time.
I thought that was weird.
Yeah, in
year
1000.
They went to year 10 twice.
Yeah. Like I said, they went to year 1000 towards the end, but most of this was in, you know, year 1 to year 10, which is the setup of the Charles Xavier era.
Is that gas leak again?
I know. I don't know what it is today. I can't speak at all. But yeah, I really like the story in this one. You know, somewhat, I mean, this isn't really a big spoiler, but you know, it revolves a lot around, the events of last issue and the building of Cerebro to allow it to be able to do what, you know, what they could do, which is basically copy the minds of, you know, all the mutants in the world. So they talk about the development of that, you know, Charles and Forge are talking about how to develop Cerebro.
Those are the first couple pages.
Where they're going to get the power source, where they're going to get the storage to do all this, and, you know, how to do that. So I thought that was really interesting, and I liked where that went. You know, a lot of setup with Emma Frost and, you know, the beginnings of Krakoa and how they were going to distribute the pharmaceuticals and, you know, all that stuff. So it felt like a setup, you know, not really a setup issue because we're getting towards the end, but more of like an explanation issue where
they're just kind of tying
together a lot of the things that we've been getting.
But I think you were right on the first one as a setup because we are setting up X-Men.
Well, we are.
You know, and I think a lot of we've said all along that Powers was all the information that it's, you know, it was a learning curve. We needed to get this information, and because what I'm finding is stuff is starting to sink in now, and you're starting to borrow from the other books and remember, you know what I mean? There's, whereas before, in the first few books, you're like, all right, I guess I'm going to need this, but I'll power through.
I'm just really wondering, because like I said, there's only two more issues, and I'm still not really understanding the phalanxes, like the year 1000 stuff. Like,
I know.
It really loses me when we get there, and I don't really know what's going on.
I feel like
on next week's House Number 6 is probably not going to address that at all.
No.
It'll probably be the last issue of Powers that will hopefully tie all that together and at least give us a springboard to go into X-Men, you know, X-Men number 1. I don't necessarily think they have to resolve it all because we know the story's going to continue on, you know, into the Dawn of X titles.
Right.
But I still want to know a little bit more about what's going on with all of, you know, with all of that. So, because I don't get it. Even at the end when you get the, like I said, the quote unquote white page where they talk about the phalanx and the titans and all this stuff. It's like, I don't really get any of that. Like, I don't know what's going on with that.
Yeah. Well, I think,
you know,
because
it talks about like it talks about to be a phalanx, you have to have, you know, 10 million units or whatever, but it's like 10 million units of what? Like, is it 10 million people? Like, I don't even know what they're referring to when they're talking about all that stuff.
Well, do you want to talk a little more spoilers after we, you know, do we have time after we close the store?
Well, we probably have time, but I don't think this is spoilers. I don't think this is spoilers that we're talking about now.
No, I know, but we could go in, you and I could talk a little bit more afterwards.
Yeah.
And
I mean, that's
get
fine.
A little more in depth.
That's fine.
All right. Did you get to read Bad Reception too?
No, not yet.
No?
No.
So this one, you know how much we love the first one.
Yeah, I really liked the first one.
So this one isn't as strong. It feels like Clue. Movie Clue or the game Clue, you know?
Right. Mr. Peacock in the dining room.
Obviously from the first one, we know the whole, you know, social media disconnection and all that, disconnecting and everything. So that's pretty prevalent through this. I'll be interested to see what your take is on it when you read it.
Yeah, I'll read it.
It's good
later on,
but I don't think it's as good as the first one.
No.
The first one blew us away. So
But see, the thing is, what I liked most about the first one was really the beginning of it. With the commentary on basically our society.
Right.
So yeah, I don't know that they needed to keep that going. So
right.
I think by definition, it was going to be a little bit of a letdown.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll read it for sure, and we can talk about it. a little bit next week.
And did you get a chance to read the Action Comics, what, 1015?
I did, yes.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
We have both read all of Naomi.
Right.
So this one here literally picks up from the end, yeah. Like minutes after Naomi, book six, I think? Was it six?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah, six.
I thought this was a great introduction to the rest of the DC universe.
Yeah, I really liked it.
A lot of fun. I had to tweet that out because I want people to, if you're not reading like Action Comics all the time, you know, if you're not reading that, this is a great place to jump in.
Yeah.
Because with this new character and her, it's fun watching her interact.
Yeah. I loved Batman in this issue, actually. Yeah. Batman was great in the Action Comics book.
Yeah.
But yeah, her whole introduction to Superman and Batman and the Wonder Twins, all that, it was really cool.
Just us talking about it, I want to go read it again.
Yeah.
It was like, because you start to remember some stuff and you're like, oh yeah, that was cool.
Yeah. It's like, why do you always do that?
Yeah.
That's why I do it.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really good.
Yeah.
Really good. All right. Is that all we got?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
All right. So, all right, that'll do it for this show. Any comments, questions, hit us up on Twitter at @thebrightside_chat. Email us at brightsidechat@gmail.com. And you find us on all of the platforms, pretty much. And we are proud members of the Nerdy Legion, and we are everywhere because of them. And the other thing is, I don't know if we've mentioned this in the past, pretty sure we have, but go to the Nerdy Legion, nerdylegion.com, and just subscribe to that, and you'll get, I mean, obviously you can subscribe to us individually, or each podcast individually, and we appreciate that. Rate, review, subscribe, and all that jazz. We'd love to get that. But you can also get all of the Nerdy Legion stuff in one icon, and it'll have all the shows as they're released together. It's pretty cool. I actually downloaded it. I start using that. Now I'm listening to shows twice.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'll listen to it on theirs, and then I'll be like, then I'll just put on, like, the Nerdy Legion one, and one show will go into the next show. I'm like, oh, yeah, I know this one.
Yeah.
So I'm
That's
like,
cool.
Yeah. And I work all day by myself with an earpiece in, so I just listen to podcasts.
Just one big long playlist.
Yep. Great. Yeah, so, all right. That's it.
Yep.
Let's close the doors and get to all some right. spoilers.
All right. Take care, everyone.
Hey, Fred. All right. Let's lock up that door.
All right.
All right. So, X-Men, you were talking about... This is all spoilers, by the way, if you're still listening. So, I actually understood it.
Okay.
The end, with all of that stuff. It was really in-depth and really kind of cool. So, they were saying, like, the black holes...
Right.
...were... It was like a society. So it had a black hole was basically, this is real.
Oh, is that, that's what it is, right? SI is the society index or something.
Yeah. And it had absorbed these societies and had all the knowledge and it was so powerful. It was absorbing all light. That's why it was a black hole. And, right. But then it was like a Titan was like what, 10 million?
Yeah.
Societies.
SI, but, 10 million.
Yeah. And, but a stronghold was like 100 million.
Right.
And then they had no idea. It was like, I'm looking at it right now. It says undefined. The Dominion was undefined.
I mean, I understood it in the context of what they wrote there as far as like, you need X amount of one to get to the other and blah. I just didn't know
right.
what X was. Like, I didn't remember right. that S 1 million or whatever was like society. The SI was
yeah.
the society index. I know they explained it early on in like Powers Number One or something, but I couldn't remember. You know, it was a month and a half ago, and there's a lot of information download that was happening there. So,
I just don't really
understand where that's all going.
I don't think I don't think we're supposed to, because like I said earlier, I feel like a lot of this stuff is like, all right, I'll take it in, and then it pays off later. Like, there's stuff right. happening now that we didn't know what it was earlier, and now you're understanding it. You know what I mean? And it's hard to, I can't even put my finger on stuff that as I was reading, I was like, oh yeah, that's from earlier. But well, actually in House last week, you had mentioned how that whole, they're born, hatched, or whatever.
Which was something that we saw in
book
the first
one.
Yeah, we saw
but
it.
We didn't know it. We didn't know what that was.
Right.
And I
get
that's
yeah,
fun stuff.
I get that, but I'm just saying there's only two issues left. So
right.
Somewhere in the next two issues, I feel like we have to get that payoff for like the year 100 and the year 1000 storyline that's been running. You know, it's been running through the whole six issues of Powers. So, but we don't really know what's going on there. Like,
right.
I feel like the year 10 and the year 1 to year 10 timelines, like, they're being solidified. Like, we have a pretty good picture now of what's going on.
That's where
on,
the detail is right now, and
but
we're just getting glimpses of the future.
Right, we don't know much about, like, years 11 through 99, you know, and what takes you from
right
year 10, where everybody's basically immortal, to year
right.
100, where most of them are gone already.
Right. Well, so, you're gonna get that. It's a tough gap because you go in, you know, 1 to 10 is only a 9-year difference for all
right.
intents and purposes. But then 10 to 100, that's, and you could see a few of the mutants that survived that time span.
Right.
But then the, you know, 100 to 1,000 is just ridiculous. There's no real crossover characters yet.
Right.
And I'm wondering if we're going to get a surprise crossover character towards the end.
Well, yeah,
like
I'm just not
walk
sure.
Walk into a frame or something.
Because that kind of explains how Magneto could still be around in year 100, because we know about the quote-unquote
the pods,
immortality
the
and
the
pods.
The eggs.
So maybe he just got one right at the end that
right.
allows him to live another, you know, 50 years or something. Because, hell, in year 10, he's already 60 years old. So,
right.
So he's definitely not 160, but if he can keep being reborn into a new husk, they keep calling it, you know, maybe he was one of the last ones to get, you know, to get an upgrade right at the end, you know, which allows him to be in the year 100 timeline. Because other than Logan, he's the only one that we know of. Like, everybody else we see in that timeline are descendants of the X-Men that we know. You know, they're descendants of Colossus and Nightcrawler and all that, but they're not those people. So, like I said, I just feel like the next two issues have a lot of filling in, you know, I think they have a lot of filling in to do, you know. They have a lot of, explaining
well,
to do.
And that, but that's the thing, and we want it. So that's why I think he's done such a great job with this, is that we're like, I want more information.
Right.
We've been hammered with so much information in this run, especially obviously in Powers, that but we still want more, which I think is a great testament to his writing. But the 1000 stuff, I don't know. Is there going to be, there might be a spinoff series that we're going to know.
Yeah, I don't know.
We'll get info from because there, and then you have a basically,
but there's no characters
900
there.
Year gap to
there's
put
no information.
There's
no characters there to spin off though, you know?
Well,
there's only like the one
dude
that's
I know.
Like a computer.
Yeah.
So,
it'll all
pretty,
come back
pretty
around.
Short
I'm
series.
Sure.
I mean, it'd be pretty, not very interesting. But the year 100 stuff, you know, could be good. Because there's definitely characters there that are compelling. We just don't know enough about any of them yet.
Yeah.
So.
But that's all right. We'll get it.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Anything else?
No. No, that's what all I'm saying. I don't know that we really needed to go spoiler on this because we're not really divulging that much.
Oh, well, no, actually, you know what? I really liked getting into spoilers on this book. I love the Emma Frost part.
Yeah.
That whole storyline where she was like, at first, so she was getting, she thought she was getting one seat on the council.
Right.
And then they're like,
three.
We'll give you two. And she's like, what do I need two for? And they explain, I can't remember what, why did they say she needed two? Oh,
they wanted Sebastian Shaw back.
Right.
And
then she's like, I need three.
Yeah. So you don't know who that's for.
We don't know who that is.
Yeah. But I also liked it, you know, they were offering her, you know, 10 years exclusive rights to distribute the
and she goes,
the medication.
Ahem,
and
50
he goes,
years.
We were thinking 50 years.
She's like, that's better.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really good. Yeah, I thought this was, it felt more like a house book.
It did,
at
yes.
the beginning. And it, and you didn't, it, it
I really kinda, just until the last two pages or so, two or three pages yeah, is when it jumped.
Yeah,
to,
we got a few white pages in there, yeah. but even reading those white pages at the time, it didn't feel as daunting because no. you weren't overwhelmed with all the information you got before. And that's why I think his, in the final book will really, you could see he's already wrapping it up here.
Yeah.
Pulling things together, and you're going to be like, I mean, obviously at the end of these books, we're not going to be like, oh, that was awesome.
Right. We're not going to know
it's
going
to be a cliffhanger. We're yeah. going to be like, I want more.
Yeah. We're definitely not going to know everything because he's got, you know, 3 years worth of story to tell.
Yeah.
You know, so there's going to be a lot more there, but I just want to know, like I said, I want to know more about that, those future timelines in the next two issues.
Yeah.
You know, because otherwise they didn't have to be here at all. You know, he could have just been right. something he introduced later on. Like, it has to have a purpose. Like, we've seen that everything has a reason so far. Like,
right.
Every, even the stuff that we didn't know about in the beginning, like you mentioned from issue number one, we now know what it means. So.
Right.
There's no way he's going to let us.
No, he's not leaving anything. Yeah. No stone is going unturned. We're not anything. It's
and he didn't build it in for no reason. Like, it's there for a purpose. We just
right.
you know, don't know what it is yet. But I feel like in the next two issues, he just doesn't have a lot of time left to wrap it up. You know,
yeah.
and let us know what's going on.
So, all right, we'll wrap it up from there.
Yeah.
All right, I'll take the key and put it under the piece of kryptonite
put it under
outside.
The kryptonite, yeah. So Dr. Joe can get in.
Yeah. So anybody can get in that.
Yeah, really.
When,
so yeah.
when they wanna listen to the spoilers.
Yeah. I'll write the alarm code on a piece of paper and I'll stick it with the key. I'll tape the key to it.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's get out of here.
All right.
Thanks for listening to the Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com. Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com. Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listened to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors. Thanks for listening.